you know, America was sort of has been hijacked to create, ultimately, you know, they want a global government. You know, my mother passed away last year, and you know, one of the last conversations I had with her, she says, you know, it took me 70 years to understand that socialism is not the answer. You know, it's just like, you're going to give the government all your money to solve the problem? No, that's not ever how that works. And it's just like, you know what? I voted Democrat my whole life until Trump, because there was no way I was ever going to vote for Hillary. And actually, as a result of what I've seen in the past year and a half, I will never vote Democrat again.
Did you know Candida yeast overgrowth causes chronic fatigue, digestive issues, lack of focus, poor memory, skin issues, anxiety, depression, and much, much more? There's a free Candida Summit, which is airing July 9th through July 15th, and you will learn all of this, plus how to eliminate it. The link is below to sign up, so why not sign up? It's 100% free, and you will become much healthier by learning this valuable information.
Changers, I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, we're going to dive into the censorship that we're seeing in the media and all around, and how that's affecting our society and the extreme nature of it. I have Alexander Bruce, who is the owner, the creator of Forbidden Knowledge Television. It's one of the biggest alternative media websites out there. And I mean, as far as how many hits per month that she gets for her show, over a million a month that she gets. And she really dives into alternative topics. And one of the things, the Seth Rich case that I just put out an interview with John Mark Dugan, she really went to town with my interview and with what Jason Goodman did recently and figured out the entire timeline of what is going on. Of course, there's still more questions, but very interesting, and she talks about that in the show. She also sticks around for my patrons and talks about the new information that is coming out with the Las Vegas shooting. Pretty interesting, and nobody's talking about mass media. It's all out there, and nobody's talking about it, and she dives into that. And we talk about all sorts of things that's going on. She talks about her life as well, when she got red-pilled and how that happened to her. And I think her perspective on this is unique because she is a dual citizen with Brazil and grew up part of her childhood there and in America, and had a different, and she talks about that different perspective and how people who live in other countries get a different sense of the United States because they get the media differently. And we just don't get that here other than through the alternative media. So it's a really good show as far as getting a sense of the censorship, how it's affecting our society and in so many areas. But before I get into that interview, I want to remind you of the free lifetime membership for cannabis at Greenflower. I'll have the link below. They have hundreds of videos that they used to charge for that is now free. So just sign in and get your membership. You'll learn a ton about cannabis and all the 900 plus ailments, all the things that, anything you want to know about cannabis. And let's get into the interview now with Alexandra Bruce. Hi, Alexandra. Thank you for joining the show.
I'm so happy to be here with you, Sarah, finally.
Yeah, well, we had you on a couple years ago, but not since I've moved or, you know, started the YouTube channel, and so now it's in video. You have been doing so much good reporting and work, and I wanted to ask you, when did you get started in this whole alternative media and questioning the narrative?
Well, it really starts from being binational, you know, like my American side is totally, you know, WASPy, you know, Scottish Protestant, whatever, and picket white fence, and, you know, really white bread American who really believe the mainstream media. And they're lovely people. I love my family, okay? And then I have my Brazilian family who've been telling me a very different story about geopolitics my whole life, and, you know, and how Brazil has been very much underfoot and manipulated by the U.S. That was the point of view of the Brazilians, and now more and more I'm beginning to see that what Brazilians complained to me about as I was growing up are what Americans are complaining, you know, people in the alt media are complaining about today. And what I realized is it wasn't America per se, it was America being used as a tool by the globalists, you know, by the central bankers. And, you know, America was sort of, has been hijacked to create, ultimately, you know, they want a global government.
So do you think that people in other countries have a much more astute look at this because Americans are more in the dark than other people?
Yes. I think in general, people who are in the Anglosphere, because we are, it seems, really still part of the crown. We're still, you know, the whole Five Eyes, you know, intelligence thing. You know, most of my, you know, it's the same language. In fact, I've seen evidence of this, for example, the Orlando, you know, the Pulse nightclub shooting. His previous wife, he had been married previously to the one he was married to at the time. And she ended up remarrying. She was from Central Asia somewhere, from like Tajikistan or something like that. And she remarried a Brazilian guy, a New Age guy, they're living in Colorado. And, you know, she was saying he was absolutely had gay tendencies and had a lot of family strife with his father because of his gay tendencies, that he was, because he was Muslim, he was having problems integrating his homosexuality. But the FBI would not allow that narrative to come out into the mainstream. They wanted it to look like a right-wing, bad Muslim or whatever, you know, was attacking the gays and make the gays be the victims when, you know, he was gay himself and he was conflicted about it. They didn't like that. The FBI would not let the wife tell that story to the mainstream media, but they did tell it to the Brazilian media. So I got the whole story from the Brazilian news. It was interesting.
Yeah, the different news from around the world is, if it's not controlled like ours, then you can get. But now, is Brazilian news pretty controlled for their own people?
Absolutely. I mean, and I would say that they're, you know, it's controlled by the elites, you know, in Brazil. But, you know, they did have a good run. I mean, they had a workers' party take over and transfer. I think it was the largest transfer of wealth in history. It was like billions of dollars were transferred to an underclass that has existed for, you know, centuries in Brazil. But because of various factors, I mean, it's all imploded in on itself right now. It's an interesting process because what you have, there was a lot of corruption in the government, and then there were a lot of leaks, mostly in the form of audio telephone leaks, because, well, it's a less, maybe broadly, as far, you know, for the downtrodden people, might not be as literate as the downtrodden Americans. I mean, that's debatable, but so the leaks came out not as texts or things that were you know, read as texts on the news. They were actual audio recordings made of politicians proving their corruption. And you've seen basically the equivalent of the Speaker of the House, the last president, are now in jail. Okay, if you can imagine that happening in the United States, and it's like, it could, and it almost should in some cases.
Well, it absolutely should.
Right. So it's almost like what I've seen with Brazil so often is it's almost like a rehearsal or a test for stuff that they roll out in the United States later. It's interesting.
Wow. So when they've transferred all that wealth to the lower class people, now was that done in a legal way or did they just take it?
Through government programs. It's a socialist government. And okay. There were, you know, all kinds of a very enhanced form of food stamps. I mean, it was like a real, like almost like a supplementary salary for people in certain regions who had paid kickbacks to the politicians' campaigns, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
That sort of was their undoing. And of course really the people who get hurt every time, the poorest people get hurt every time, but the people who, you know, get slammed also are the middle class, who are the ones who are, you know,
the back of the society, the foundation, the people who are just working hard, building things.
Brazil has the highest taxes of any country on the planet.
Oh, geez.
And what do they have really to show for it?
Well, and that's, you know, that's the problem, is they tax the crap out of you and it doesn't go to anything.
What's funny is that, okay, I came from very liberal leftist, you know, on my mother's side. And, you know, my mother passed away last year. And you know, one of the last conversations I had with her, she says, you know, it took me 70 years to understand that socialism is not the answer. You know, it's just like, you're going to give the government all your money to solve the problem? No, that's not ever how that works.
Have you been wanting to try the paleo diet, but you've just been really overwhelmed at all the different directions and recipes and even how to get started? Well, Camille's Paleo Cooking School Basics will teach you all of that. She'll be teaching you how to save a ton of money while cooking better and faster, and provide you with recipes and ways to create tasty food that's healthy for you. By following her paleo diet, you will ultimately start reducing your aches and pains typically associated with growing older. You'll effortlessly start to lose weight and you'll become much healthier. To get more information on Camille's paleo cooking basics, find the link below and start getting healthier today. No, well, see, yeah, like I just did an interview with Donald Jeffries, and he has been looking at hidden history, all the corruption that's been going on for decades. But one of the stats that I thought was amazing is that we pay more in taxes for healthcare than most countries on the planet that even have socialized healthcare.
Right.
And we don't get anything.
Which, by the way, Brazil does have socialized healthcare.
Well, and I'm not saying that's good or bad, and that's a whole nother topic of worms and things. But the whole point is, for how much we're getting taxed, we're getting zero.
Yeah.
And that's the...
I had to stop having health insurance because it was like, I don't know, it's going into $2,500 a month or something crazy.
Well, that's a lot. I have family of four and it's a lot less than that.
But I've heard other people say that it's like, it's gone up since the last... time I checked.
That's just crazy. Wow, that's a lot for a single person.
It makes sense. It's like, no, I'll get the catastrophic or whatever.
That's exactly right. So okay, so you were red pilled early because you're from Brazil and things, but you had another just mind blowing experience when you lived like three blocks away from 9/11 and you got to watch blow by blow how they were lying to people. Can you go through kind of how you were just like, holy crap kind of scenario?
Well, my real red pill thing, let's roll a little further back. When I was 13, okay, I was born in the United States and my stepfather took a job in Brazil with under Donald Rumsfeld of all people, working for Searle Pharmaceuticals when I was 13. So I moved to Brazil and did my high school years in Brazil. And that's where I saw a UFO like the size of, I don't know, 5 740 strong.
Huge. You know,
massive, floating over a city that has 20 million people, not making a sound, you know, breaking all the laws of physics that they're teaching us in school, and that it wasn't front page news or on TV.
Millions of people saw it.
Well, you know, I didn't hear a lot of people talk. It's kind of like embarrassing, but I did hear, I spoke to one kid at school who said his mother had seen it from the opposite side of town, from her penthouse, you know, from 20 miles on the other side of town. So millions of people had to have seen it. I was with my neighbor. It's not like I'm the only one who saw this thing. We were together when we saw it.
And then what happened? And nobody talked about it? It was like, what the heck?
No, and that's when I knew, like, the news is not telling the truth. The physics isn't telling the truth. Like, the school is lying. The news is lying. Like, history is a lie. That means history is a lie. So everything is a lie. So that's where I was, you know, by the time I was 13, I was like shocked, you know. And so I've been here. So then now getting to 9/11, I've been reading predictions that something like that would happen for over a decade. I'd been reading, I'd been already like reading, it was, you know, the internet wasn't really happening then, and there were newsletters. One was called the Cosmic Awareness Newsletter. I was reading like Bill, you know, Behold a Pale Horse. I was reading, there were books put out by leading edge. They moved then to San Diego and became called the Matrix books. They were like telephone book thick sized books that would almost be like, you know, surfing for several months at a time in terms of pages of material from like leaks and whatever, like a lot of weird Navy stuff and telling you to get ready for this was going to happen, telling you that Bush was a drug dealer, you know. So I was reading about this back in the early 90s, and I was ready. So when 9/11 happened, I already knew that something like that was going to happen, and I did happen to live literally half a block away at the time, but I also crazily happened to be out of the country for the first time in 6 weeks, and I had had a precognitive dream about it 6 weeks before, which was almost exactly the way it happened. It was, I can't even begin to tell you how intense that was, and how that was a game-changing event for America and for the planet, I imagine, because that was the excuse to go into these endless wars, you know, with the Middle Eastern countries.
Well, they had that bigger plan. They started to implement their global plan in a bigger way.
Yeah, you know, the Wesley Clark story of, you know, mm-hmm. 7 countries in 5 years.
And now, when did you start Forbidden Knowledge Television?
Well, that was in 2010. And it was just kind of a natural thing that happened, because this is what I sort of cared about anyway. It just evolved organically. And it grew very rapidly. And this was another thing, you know, I immediately, very quickly saw, like, wow, this is, you know, I've hit the pulse of something here. Immediately, I was getting like 200 subscribers a day, new subscribers per day for a while. It was growing very rapidly. And I sent out a newsletter that was about the whole, this was during the rollout of smart meters. And because actually they had installed it in the apartment building where I was living in Los Angeles at the time. Excuse me. And a couple of days later, I turned on my computer and my mass emailing account had been deleted with my entire mailing list on it. Luckily, I had backed it up like 4 days before. But so when I called to ask her what that was about, she said, "Oh, you're spamming." And I said, "Absolutely not. I mean, this is how I make a living. I take all of this very seriously. I do it the right way." And she said, "You're right. Okay, no, you weren't spamming. It was the level of complaint." And I'm like, "Complaint about what? What was the subject line?" And she said, "It was the one about smart meters." And I said, "What was the complaint about that?" And she says, "Well, one of the top three ISPs, who is our client, and I'm not at liberty to disclose who they are, said that they would block all of our traffic if they didn't immediately delete your account."
Okay. So, and they had to, otherwise their business would go under.
Yes. And she says, "My hands are tied and I'm sorry." So, then, you know, 9/11, I mean, none of it makes any sense. Come on. I mean, an aluminum airframe.
Well, it's all.
Up and just slide down the side of that building. I mean, no way. Okay, and what are they doing? You know, we have NORAD. What are they doing that? Maybe there weren't planes. I mean, they did not find plane. You know, the engine that they found on it was actually a Murray Street. I actually rented a loft there when I was a kid, you know, in college. That was the wrong engine for that model plane. You know, everything was wrong. I mean, the building wouldn't melt at that temperature, et cetera. There's just no. The official story is absolutely fraudulent. The people who are reading the news to you, I mean, if you look at the mainstream news, you are looking at the people who sold you that line of treasonous garbage, okay? And Robert Mueller was the FBI director at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he was involved with the cover-up of that, or even the orchestration of it, for all we know, okay?
Well, and that's when people started really waking up. There was more and more. And so that's why there was such a pulse.
Well, because you have such a disconnect between,
it's
like,
so
how
obvious.
Does this even happen in America? Like, isn't the reason why we pay more, like, than every other military put together?
Yeah,
to, like, not let this happen? I mean, no.
It was so obvious. And any, yeah. I mean, it was so, now what really happened isn't really obvious, but I mean, that takes investigation, which they never did, but it's obvious that their narrative's wrong.
They spent more of the Mueller investigation of Trump than they did on the 9/11 investigation.
I was supposed to interview John Barber this morning, and my dog chewed up my, I have a new puppy dog, and he chewed up my cord. And so when someone says that the dog ate their homework, there's something behind it. But anyways, I was supposed to interview him today, but he has a documentary that came out last year, and he was an Emmy award-winning journalist and show host, and he started covering it, and they immediately fired him, even though he just won the Emmy. And so since that, he kind of had to retrench, you know, so he was red-pilled then in an America that was really different. And so his documentary talks about the Mockingbird media and how the death of the media at the time of JFK and how that affected our country. And I would like to take that even farther, because I think now it's almost a complete control of our media and how that's bleeding out. And it's not just CIA control, Mockingbird media. I think it's corporate control as well, how it's bleeding out to medicine and science and physics and all these other things.
It's corporate. It's a corporate, you know, control of everything. And then using the government to enact things like the Smith-Mundt, what's it called? You guys, it's got a long name, but it's the Smith-Mundt Act that basically allows propaganda to be done, be perpetrated by the government against U.S. citizens. And for example, we have, you know, Time Magazine with the crying girl, you know, the crying little Latin cute girl crying and Trump looking down at her. And then, the father of the girl comes forward and says, "We've never been separated. This was a different event that happened in Texas. It's not even where they said
total
it was."
Total BS. It's just whatever. It's like the wag the dog, you know.
Does Time retract or do anything? No, because we're in a post-truth era now. It's Time is not about journalism. In fact, journalism can't even be about journalism anymore and survive. This is something that Tim Pool, who you may have heard of, who's sort of semi-alternative and semi-straight journalist guy, who's lovely. He's a lovely kid. He's from Chicago originally. And he was saying, you know, I'm realizing that people don't really need me to give them the news, because the news is like automatic. Everyone's got it. It's, you know, everyone now is really in the business of opinion. And so that's what we have. And that is, especially with this propaganda being legalized now, it's just everyone is lobbing propaganda at you. And like, literally, if you're not on that page, it's weird. It's very strange looking. Like, when I turn CNN on, it's just like, oh my God, these people are screaming at me about some bullshit, you know, like.
Yes, I know. I feel like that's why I have a hard time watching it, to the point where I have to watch it enough to stay sort of in tune, but it bothers me so much that I'm like, gosh, so for what I'm doing, how much should I watch of knowing that it's just complete bullshit?
Well, and then this is it. I mean, it's really so simple, too, the way it goes down. For example, like Rachel Maddow, who I used to be a fan of, okay? She somehow, Trump became president, she went bonkers. And, you know, along with that, you know, everyone, you know, I majored in semiotics, which is basically cultural criticism. It was what you had to do film at Brown University, like the most liberal milieu imaginable. Okay. I am a liberal. I don't even understand what's happening right now. And in fact, I actually the GOP posted an incredible video a couple of days ago, just showing straight real footage, completely unmanipulated, of people like Madonna, you know, Robert De Niro, and, you know, just everything that we've seen happen with Hollywood actors in the past year, just, and you know, also Democratic politicians saying completely insane and really illegal things. And it's just like, you know what? I voted Democrat my whole life until Trump, because there was no way I was ever going to vote for Hillary. And actually, as a result of what I've seen in the past year and a half, I will never vote Democrat again.
Well, I that's what, you know, I had Cynthia McKinney on, and I said, I don't even know what I am. I think that's probably where you're at. I am just hardcore independent now, because the left really isn't, the liberal isn't that. They've lost their whole tune. The GOP, they're not, the whole, everything is such a farce.
Corrupt. It's just a lot, it's corporate corruption. Nobody stands for anything. But basically,
yes.
The people who we would call conservative in America today are way to the left of what would have been considered left-wing, say, in the 1960s, okay? People are not racist in America.
No.
You know what I mean? So everything that Antifa is complaining about and all these stories that you see just pumping out, trying to act as if we're still in the 1950s and like racism is still like a big thing. It's like an issue in America. It's not.
Well, and the thing is that the source of the race, because there is still some institutional stuff, but it's coming from the greed of wanting to make money and institutionalizing things and screwing things up. But the average person is trying to get past all that crap, and they keep forcing us into it.
Right. It's just not allowing the process that has been happening for 60 odd years to just continue to happen. And it really, like, I have nieces who are half black, and yes, they've experienced like a little bit of weirdness because like they're not black enough for their black friends, and maybe they don't feel white enough or whatever. But it's not like this like hardcore racism that like, and they're in the South, right? So it's not like what it was like to grow up in the South.
It's not the same.
Fine, and actually they got a lot of things that, you know, because they're black that they wouldn't be getting.
Yeah, okay. And there are some people that you run across. And like my daughter, she's Hispanic, and she was, during a hockey game, told her to go back over the border, you know, so, but she doesn't feel like she's discriminated against, you know, in general. I mean, she'll have a few things, and she ran into a hockey coach who was racist, but in general, it's not, it's just not, you know, for her.
These things are making a mountain out of a molehill, I think. It's not like you don't want to deny when things are real and they're happening.
Exactly.
Like, but like to harp on it and just feed it, I think just makes it
worse.
Doesn't, you know, it's like, yes, acknowledge it and move on. I mean, it's a process, you know, I think America's amazing in what it has been able to do to integrate all people from all over the world. It's amazing.
But we got to celebrate that. So I think the right actually is going about it in a much healthier way right now than the left. Because they're trying to say, okay, well, let's learn and let's try not to be the... Because I've heard, I don't know how many hosts say, okay, well, teach me then. Get on and teach me what I don't know. And I mean, so I've been kind of impressed because they're tired of being told they're racist when they don't do anything. Just the first thing you do is tell them... Now, I don't agree with everything they do. But that I don't agree with automatically telling them they're racist so that you can win a campaign.
So, no, I don't know how much that is really going to continue to work for the so-called minorities in a country where whites are rapidly becoming the minority.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in California, they already are the minority. And they will be in other states very soon.
Well, let's get back into your Forbidden Knowledge Television, because you were getting millions a hit a month and you were making a good living, and it was like, wow, this is my passion, this is what I want to do. And then all of a sudden, Google decided to turn off the flames here.
We've heard a lot about people that their YouTube channels being demonetized. Now, YouTube is part of Google. And I was never really big on, I guess because I was a professional filmmaker for many years, I was like, oh, I don't want to make crappy things. Like, I know how to do it professionally. And that takes a lot of time and stuff that I don't want to do. You know, what I can do is write. Like, I've written 6 books and I can sit here and do what, you know, I majored in cultural criticism. So that's what I'm doing. And it's shocking. I've ended up in places I did not expect, you know, because first of all, I didn't know why I had such a weird right-wing audience. And that freaked me out. And so it really, I had to learn how to speak in a broader way, because I was speaking more in an Antifa type of way when I started, because that's where I was going.
But it shifted your thinking, right? I mean, you started realizing, wait a minute,
Yeah, and that actually they're not bad people, you know, they're different. But and then suddenly I realized that maybe I have more in common with them than these people who are putting on balaclavas and you know, trying to shut down immigration. Like, what is this open border thing? Like, Democrats are running on the idea that we should not have borders and that we should just allow, you know, just like empty out Latin America and Africa and the whole planet should just.
And never mind that it's a trafficking haven. And I mean, there's three pillars. You bring in people who are in danger in their country. You bring in people you need for workers. And then the third pillar is people who want a better life. But you only bring those in for how much you can absorb for your country to not screw it up for the rest of the people in the country. It's like, really basic.
I'm living in a place that is where the schools have been completely swamped by kids from like El Salvador and Guatemala. They're not, a lot of them don't learn how to speak English. There's like a resistance. They're just being taught everything in Spanish. I think that is actually intentional to create a wedge. I don't know if they allow that in your district in Minnesota, but they're doing that here in New York. And I think it's, there's something pernicious about that. I mean,
that's not good for them, for one thing.
It's not good for anybody.
No, no.
Because then it creates a wedge within the society.
Well, let them talk Spanish at home and teach them English at school. That's what we do. I mean, we wanted our kids to be bilingual because now they got all these opportunities. Give them a gift. Give them the gift of being bilingual. But yet, so they're holding people back by doing that, creating a permanent underclass, which is not good.
No, exactly. Exactly. That's what you're saying. English was not my first language. I'm glad I learned it.
Yeah, I mean...
You know what I mean? You make a living writing English.
Yeah, you. It would be more difficult for you if, what is it, Portuguese is what you speak in Brazil, right? I mean, having multiple languages opens up the world. I wish I knew more languages. I knew that for my children. But for these people to purposely do the, yeah, so it should be obvious, and it is to the people who are planning society. They know that.
Yeah.
They know it.
So, yeah, it's put a huge burden on the public schools here. You know, like, you know, I don't blame these people for coming here. They're fine people, but the thing is like, what's this policy really about like bringing more, you know? And then a lot of them seem to have been radicalized by this MS-13 thing. That's the people, you know, it's the Salvadoran gang that's very violent. They like chop their arms and heads off of people.
Well, because we're just letting anyone in. That's the problem with just opening your border. Bring all your criminals. Bring them here. Open up the trafficking networks. Who cares?
Your politicians are running and they're saying, yes, open border. It's like, how is that a platform that anyone wants to vote for? I don't think even Latinos that are here want
no.
that.
No, my husband gets mad listening to it. You know, he's Mexican. He's like, you guys are crazy. And he used to work with people, you know, a couple decades ago. He did a lot of volunteer work with people, immigrants and things. They used to separate families back then. So when he's hearing all this crap about we're separating families, it's like, you guys are lying. You're full of crap. They've been doing it forever.
Forever. Obama did it forever. Obama probably... They call him Obomber for a reason. I mean, that guy, I don't think there was a day that went by where he wasn't bombing brown people somewhere on the planet.
Yeah, it's just hypocritical.
It's awful.
So they turned off your Forbidden Knowledge television. You weren't making the money that you were.
This is what it was. I had a website back then, actually, because the split, you know, you monetize your videos, right?
Well, barely. I make $1,000 a month or something.
You're doing other stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
Independent ads, which is what we've had to do. I'm doing the same thing. And, so I even just gave a try. I decided let's run some AdSense for a month and see what happens. And literally I made $60, whereas before I was making $15,000.
Isn't that nuts? Now, how much did your volume go down?
I think it has gone down. Maybe it's halved.
So you should have, at half volume, you should have made $7,500.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever, things have changed. And then it's hard to say.
It is what it is. This is what demonetizing looks like. It's the real... I've talked to people
know
who.
what my numbers are because they mess with the numbers. I don't trust the
I
numbers.
know.
I couldn't tell you that it's half because it might be the same. You know, I don't know.
I know. Mine is like that too, and my YouTube is really getting messed with right now, and it's frustrating me. But, like I have this American hero on who saves kids who are trafficked, the most beautiful person and group of people risking their lives to save children, and they demonetized it. It's Jake Morfonio's put a thing, he put a video up of getting a new puppy. Totally just his puppy. And that was he just wanted to see. My point is that they're messing with certain people, and I did a video about.
It's not necessarily the content. No, I know that at that point there was a red target on my head, and no matter what I did, I was toast in perpetuity.
Well, I had some videos that were just soaring.
There was no warning, and there was no recourse either.
Well,
You know,
that's like,
that's.
you know, they won't even. I had videos that were soaring, and it was like they would not let it soar, and then it went down to almost zero within an hour, and that was it. And so, it's a continuing thing. So I feel you, but they did it across the. So this was the first generation of people they hit, and there were big people on YouTube that just quit altogether.
It's getting hard to, you know, people who make this incredible high quality stuff, like Truth Stream Media, they've been doing it for years, and I see that they're kind of petering out because, like, you can't make they have a family to feed. You know, I mean, the work is certainly worth a lot. You know, it's incredible work that they and others are doing. I put the spotlight on everyone who I think is brilliant in the space. And so that's really what I've ended up becoming. You know, when I started out, it was sort of like a cool science blog and new tech or whatever. And then it really turned into like chronicling this high drama in the alternative media space, you know.
Well, I'm probably a few years after you because I started as this business game changers, and I was going to talk about the lead cutting edge of business and stuff. And then I started getting exposed to all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm still going to do high tech and where the future is going, but I have to talk about all these big issues because
Well,
I.
it affects, as we were saying, you know, it affects science, it affects energy technologies, it affects medicine. I mean, it's like wherever these corporate, you know, big money interests can get their edge on something, they're going to clamp down on it. And it's just, it's, we are witnessing an era of like unprecedented opportunities for fascism. And then what we've been describing with censorship, the commercial censorship that we have experienced is total fascism. There's no recourse. There's nothing you can do. Like, here, I'll correct myself. You know, no, it's too late. You are burned. You are burned.
You're a bad person.
Whereas if you were just Rachel Maddow, who I was, you know, speaking about before, who I think, what is it? She gets 750,000 viewers, and I is that per day? Might be per day or per week. I'm forgetting. It's so much lower, for example, than Alex Jones, all right? And I think she makes, these are numbers from a couple of years ago, so they might have changed up or down, I don't know. But I think she makes like $40,000 per episode. And so if you add that up, that's like $2.5 million per year. If somebody was paying you $2.5 million per year to lie about 9/11 and stuff, would you do it?
Well, I wouldn't, but I think that there's a lot of people that would,
I think
right?
it'd be hard. It'd be hard. I mean, like,
I don't
I'm
know if I
passionate
would.
about this stuff, but I would, after being broke for so long, I'd give it an extra thought, maybe. I mean, it's a little, like you can't kind of blame them in a way. You know?
I know. I still wouldn't because I don't.
No, I hate them. I despise them.
Yeah, but I see what you're talking about. A lot of people trade their soul for it. And because they can't possibly be okay with, I mean, there's a lot of people that say, I don't care, I'm not going to make this kind of money. Like Richie Allen, he was making great money and said, I can't do this. I can't be a whore for you. And at what point, see, that's the courage thing that I've been saying is that people just don't have any courage. They have no courage to do what's right. At some point, when do you become a citizen and you're protecting our home? What is it that you sell out your soul versus doing what's right for mankind? I mean, I don't, that's where I'm at. I'm like, I want to be able to feed my family and be okay, right? So I'm okay. Now, if I wasn't in that position, I don't, maybe I would do something else. But as long as I can feed myself and that we're doing okay that way, then I would never, because of the millions of people who are dying with the fake medical information and the, how we're, if we got that information to people, there's millions of people dying. There's millions of people dying from our wars. And it's just simply because they're keeping us ignorant.
Absolutely.
Okay. You have done amazing work just recently on the Seth Rich murder, which I am really impressed. Jason Goodman had John Mark Dugan on, and I had him on recently as well, too. And I didn't realize he did two shows. I only saw his second one, and I ended up learning that there was Cyber Command and there was a group involved with Seth Rich and all these things. But you went farther and you just chronicled the whole thing, put the whole piece together. Obviously, there's still questions that the investigation could come up with. But where did you come out on that? Because, you know, I was very impressed with how you broke that down.
Well, I just looked at all the, you know, the open source material, and I made a timeline, and I looked at what other people are saying. In fact, George Webb recently, in the last 2 days, was saying that he still thought that Seth Rich was reality winner, and that Seth Rich, whoever he, you know, he's in a kibbutz somewhere in Israel, which might be true, because there was no investigation of the murder, no ballistics, no autopsy, and no death certificate.
And do you think that could explain kind of the weird behavior of the family?
So there's a strong argument that he's just been disappeared, you know? And then, you know, because then if you believe the Q story, NSA was doing stuff like that to expose Hillary Clinton. And that, you know, maybe Seth Rich thought he was involved with, you know, standing up for Bernie Sanders by exposing her. But there was, you know, basically what happened, what John Mark Dugan realized, he was the guy who helped Seth Rich and his group, which we find out he had a group, who are probably the people that we know as Guccifer 2.0, to set up the website DC Leaks, which their IP, you know, expired like in May, so the site's gone, and they stopped posting on Twitter last December, or maybe a year ago last December, I think so. And in any case, so this John Mark Dugan, he was a cop who was also making these whistleblower sites, and he was contacted by Seth Rich, and he started speaking with other people, and there was one particular admin of the site who he spoke with actually more than he did with Seth Rich, who he kept an eye on their patterns, and he was able to determine that this was the same person who the particular admin who he dealt with regularly. And one particular time, this person did not use their Tor proxy to log in, and their IP at U.S. Cyber Command at Fort Meade, which is a division of the NSA, basically, was revealed to him. Like, he saw clearly that the person who was logging in from the NSA. And they continued to speak, online, with this person in helping to set up this website, which eventually gave the information to WikiLeaks, because John Mark Dugan made the introduction to someone who knew WikiLeaks and could help them. And then basically they posted the first 750 DNC emails. And then on the 22nd of July, less than 2 weeks after Seth Rich was murdered, if he was murdered, we don't know exactly 100%. They published, you know, the rest of the DNC emails, the thousands.
So this huge breakthrough. I mean, Jason Goodman's show and my show, his especially, because he was the first one to talk to him, it should have millions of views. And in my show should have between the two of us, we probably have like 24,000 views. And we probably have a crossover audience a little bit. That's ridiculous.
It is.
How?
Sure, like, you know, because basically Mueller's investigation is based on the idea that CrowdStrikes or whatever said that DC Leaks was Fancy Bear and that these were Russian spies when it wasn't. It was John Mark Dugan from Moscow setting up a website that was hosted in Malaysia.
And they knew that.
In D.C. And of course they know. They know.
So now do you, how
the
much?
NSA knows because the NSA, we saw the IP from the NSA was involved in setting up the site.
So okay? How much do you think this will blow open or blow over that case? I mean, because we've spent the last 2 years on this whole Russian probe BS. What does that do to that whole narrative?
Nothing will happen. What I've seen is actually that this.
What should it do?
What it should do is to basically start putting the investigation on Mueller and Horowitz and other people. Those are the people who need to be investigated.
And what are they doing now? I mean, what are they? I mean, it's such a joke. What do you think they're trying to get out of this? They're trying to impeach Trump, but it's turning into a complete farce.
It is because, well, I mean, they're just, the more they do, the more they reveal themselves to be, you know, people who are committing criminal acts of treason against the U.S. government, who are in the highest levels of the U.S. government. So it's really quite amazing that this is going on. But if you talk to your normal brainwashed lefty friends, you know, I love you, but they believe the CNN version of what's happening, which I don't even understand. I don't even, like, explain it to me.
And if you tell them to listen to John Mark Dugan and you tell them that, they think that you're crazy.
Yes.
They just won't listen to that, which is just, that's the power of this whole Mockingbird program the CIA put in place.
The idea that these people are, that they're authorities, like, where do they derive their authority? They actually derive their authority from this corrupt government. So you have to know that they're the mouthpieces of the most corrupt elements within the government that are trying to overthrow it, you know? And so it's so obvious, you know?
It's getting more blatant and obvious, isn't it? I mean, this is so obvious.
Yeah. But, you know, another case that's sort of like this is the Las Vegas shooting.
Oh, geez, yes.
Which, you know, the AP sued the Las Vegas Metro Police Department for body cam footage, for all the police records and the audio tapes. And, you know, as I was reporting 8+ months ago from people who were posting their videos that they were taking down, but I found on Facebook and posted on YouTube that, you know, I think got 60,000 views, but probably deserves to get.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean?
I do know.
he described everything that all of these newly released documents are saying, which is that this was a large terrorist attack on many locations with many shooters, like at least 12 of the resorts. One of the tourist helicopter businesses had an active shooter there. I mean, it's all in the audio tapes. It's out there. It's public. Is the news reporting on it? Is the AP who sued to have this information released reporting on it? No. So therefore, in the minds of, you know, dullards who believe the mainstream media, they think that if the mainstream media is not reporting on it, it means it's not happening. It's not real.
Now, is there a tipping point we'll reach where enough people are questioning the media where we could really change this country? Or are we still at risk of losing this war, this information war we're at?
Well, it is absolutely an information war. And I guess I wouldn't continue to do this every day if I didn't believe that I could make a difference.
I'm there with you. We need to win this war. It's kind of like, we have to win this war. You can't quit because of the people who are dying because of this.
Oh, just, you know, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are so unforgivable. I mean, I just think our national karma is shot from those alone. I mean, and there are so many other
And the medical info war is...
It's on so many fronts. Like, you know, when people call America the Great Satan, like, I get it, you know, because that's what it looks like if you're not inside the belly of the beast.
How do we get the rest of the people who are asleep to wake up without, I mean, how do you get them into the fold? And can you do it all at once, or are they just going to revolt?
I think they have their own little red pilling. Something goes off in each person's head at the right time. You know, I mean, I think it's never good to shout and scream and call people names. So, you know, certainly I feel very much like I'm preaching to the choir a lot of the time. And certainly in the beginning, my audience, I think, was more red-pilled than I was, okay? And they were schooling me.
Yeah, that's how it starts, I think.
Right. And so, you know, even though I was already, like I said, I was already extraordinarily red-pilled by the time I was 13 years old, you know, it's been, you know, the degrees to which you can get how much falsity is going on is kind of unfathomable. I keep getting it. And I think the latest one, the more recent one, because yeah, okay, the science is fake. There's probably either aliens or alien technology or else the government. Because the first thing I said when I was 13 and I saw the UFO in Brazil, I was like, oh, that's the Americans. There was nothing alien about what I saw. I mean, it looked like something out of Star Wars or something.
So, you know, a lot of people are theorizing that it's just our secret space program and that we are really advanced and it's just our own stuff. And other people say it's a combination of stuff, you know, because you listen to Cliff High, who has the nighttime goggles, and anybody can go get them, and you can see it all the time in the sky.
Yes, I've had, you know, 30 plus experiences, and that's only just, you know, I could see it more often if I just looked up, you know, if I weren't on the computer all the time the way I am now, the way I didn't used to be. Yes, I've seen every kind of thing, you know, I've seen like plasmic beings like floating in the sky that are like, what?
Why do you think you see it and most people don't? You know, there's a lot of people that do. So I'm not trying to say that there's a lot of people I've talked to like you. But why do you think the majority of people don't have that gift to see it?
I think, well, it might be just having an open mind and not having your mind made up about things. But, you know, it's not like I had my mind made up. This thing was everyone who looked up saw this thing. I mean, but one thing that people have told me, because I think that there's every different kind of thing going on up there. Like I said, plasmic, like amoebic blob in the sky. That was so weird. But what, you know, psychic, sensitive people have told me, and I have a little bit of that going on, you know, precognitive and telepathic and, you know, I have that going on a little bit. It's not under my control by any means, you know, it's like spontaneous for me. They just tell me that basically, you know, your frequency, whatever your general vibration as a spirit or as a soul or as a consciousness is at a certain wavelength that you are actually able to see things that other people aren't. And, you know, I think that's it's a complex statement. It can just mean like what I was saying, so that I have an open mind. I don't have this hard belief that UFOs don't exist. I don't have that. So somebody who has that belief might, you know, people are always looking for their confirmation bias is so strong. And that's what we're fighting, really, is confirmation bias, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, where are you going to take Forbidden Knowledge Television? Where do you see it going into the future?
That's a really good question. You know what? The struggle has been so day-to-day that, I mean, I have, it's interesting because like, you know, now I'm like totally broke. I've lost money doing that. You know, I'm in the hole doing this. And, you know, so now I'm going to launch a business doing, you know, to make money doing something else. But what I found interestingly by really having to get beat down this way is that I've actually started to enjoy what I'm doing in a way that I hadn't before. And I find myself like laughing at just some of the absurdities that I encounter on a regular basis. And I also get something that not everyone in life gets. I mean, I get people, hundreds of people thanking me for what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Putting your life's work and your passion into exposing things. So how can people get your information? I mean, where do they go?
You go to forbiddenknowledgetv.net And there's a little subscription form. Near the sort of the below the video screen in the sort of upper right, and just your first name. It can be fake. It doesn't matter. You can put whatever. And I don't track, you know, that whole the European thing. I don't track anybody's IP. I don't pay attention to any of that stuff.
Which is just great stuff. I mean, I've learned a lot from it.
Address, and that's it. And it's free. And the only thing that, you know, in exchange is that I have, you know, banners for actually things that people enjoy receiving, which I've also introduced you to, which is
it's helped me a lot.
Some of this natural health stuff.
So yep. Yeah. You're the one that got me into that, and it's helped a lot.
Great. Yeah. Well, as I choke on, I think these are lilac bushes behind me, and I'm like, the pollen is like completely off the hook right now.
Well, since you're not feeling well, will you stay longer and do a question for my patrons?
No, absolutely. No, I'm happy to do this. It's just that once in a while, like the pollen gets in there and I
know. I was just making a joke out of it. Well, thank you so much for this whole thing and stick around.